Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby Podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team. And that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave, 1919, 1920. There's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Professor Anne-Marie O'Dwyer, chatting all things the psychiatry of cancer.
I want to say that it's very common to be very distressed, to have a very prominent psychological response to cancer, that they are not alone, that lots of other people feel in that way, and that it's important for them to have information. Information is power, but it has to be the right information.
As ever, we're available on all podcast platforms.
It revolutionised how we travelled the globe and brought air travel to the masses. But Boeing, the world's largest aerospace company, has recently found itself in a period of extreme crisis.
Well, it seems this plane has crashed. There's a major search and rescue operation ongoing in the Java Sea.
A string of high-profile accidents has caused major concerns as to whether it's safe to fly on a Boeing aircraft.
U.S. aviation investigators and a technical team from Boeing are headed to Ethiopia tonight. That's where a new 737 MAX 8 jetliner crashed today, minutes after taking off from Addis Ababa. Eight Americans are among the 157 people killed.
The collapse in confidence has led passengers and employees alike to question whether the once trusted airplane manufacturer has put profits ahead of safety in recent years.
Once again, Boeing is fighting for its reputation. 6 days after the side of an Alaska Airlines MAX 9 blew out in flight, forcing an emergency landing.
Boeing quit listening to their employees. So every time I'd raise my hand and say, hey, we got a problem here, they would attack the messenger and ignore the message.
I'm Tabitha Monaghan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by aviation analyst Alex Macheras to look at a company that once soared as the greatest innovator in aviation that now finds itself in a spectacular freefall. Alex, Boeing is one of the biggest names in aviation, but where does their story start?
So Boeing is, as you say, one of the world's most prominent names in commercial aviation, but also across different sectors, including defense and with military and so on. That journey began way in the early days, 1909, and it was a kind of American dream story. Gentleman William E. Boeing setting out for a vision that ultimately would be focused on transport, not necessarily aviation. Later becoming aviation with ideas as to how they were going to develop something that would look like an aircraft or something that we would recognize today as an aircraft, but ultimately something that would fly. And that's where the journey started. The very concept of us being able to be airborne is still so young. And that is around the same age as Boeing itself. So you really begin to understand there that actually this is a day one company in terms of the concept of flight itself and Boeing's alignment with that.
It really has adapted and developed. And like you said, it's been there since day dot when it comes to aviation and passenger travel as well. But can you tell me now, jumping to today, how big the company is and how big they were able to grow it?
Boeing is now one of the greatest aerospace companies, not just in history, but standing until today. So they first built their aircraft, the 707, which was for commercial airline operations way back in the days when, for example, Pan Am were flying around and using these aircraft. Now it is one of two. It is the most significant employer in the US in terms of one of the largest. It has the largest factory on Earth by size in terms of a single building, and that's the production where it makes commercial aircraft.
Boeing's mega factory is the largest building on the planet. How big? You could fit all of Disneyland inside it and still have room for parking.
And it rules the aviation sector with Airbus. And out of the tens of thousands of commercial aircraft that are in service all over the world, there is generally a 50-50 split, depending on what markets you're looking at, between Airbus and Boeing.
So clearly Boeing was a leading manufacturer and quite a business success story as well. Where does the current crisis stem from, though?
So the reason why we feel like we have been seeing Boeing headlines all over the world for some time now really stems from the beginning of the 737 MAX program.
We are announcing the 737 MAX. The 737 MAX gives our airline customers the most efficient airplane in the single aisle segment.
And if I take you back a decade or so, well, actually a little more now, Airbus and Boeing, who are constantly in a neck and neck race in order to outdo the other and secure airline customer orders, were fighting for what was going to become the new modern single aisle aircraft, ultimately a short haul aircraft that would deliver great financial efficiencies to customer airlines and give them versatility to be able to fly efficiently, financially and environmentally friendly for the fare-paying public who were making short-haul journeys like never before over the last 10 years. And this is a trajectory that has continued. We are very used to now being able to jump on a flight for an hour and paying something like 20 euros for it. And so Boeing in this race realized that Airbus at that point were a little ahead with them, unveiling the A320neo. It was their best-selling aircraft, the A320, but re-engined, and it would give airlines greater efficiency, and they would be laughing all the way home to the bank in terms of the savings that they would have with these efficient engines requiring less fuel, burning fewer emissions, and so on and so on. And Boeing panicked, and they thought, do we commit to a new aircraft program, a whole clean sheet design that's going to take a minimum of 10 to 15 years. By then, Airbus will have racked up all of the sales. Or do we re-engine what we have also, a 60-year-old airframe, the 737, in service all over the world and try to do the same thing? And that's what they did. And critics say that it was rushed. We have all the evidence to show that that whole concept of the idea of the 737 MAX was rushed because they could see Airbus securing all of these sales. And that is the root of the crisis that has continued to evolve into crises after crises.
In these waters, just off the coast of the Indonesian capital, a search operation by sea and air continues. In the Java Sea, rescuers found body parts, clothing, and scraps of metal.
And we might actually go into what happened in October 2018 in Indonesia, because it made international headlines, such was the disaster and the tragedy of the disaster as well. Can you tell us exactly what happened?
Sure. So this was the first indication that something could be wrong with the 737 MAX. Until that point in October 2018, the world knew that Boeing had a shiny new re-engined aircraft. It was the same 737 with a few modifications and some new efficient engines. We knew that Boeing had to go through different scenarios in order to balance the weight of these heavy and slightly further forward engines compared to the previous versions. Boeing had assured us that that's something that they had worked on, and that obviously, given that aviation is so tightly regulated, the regulators were happy with. So at the end of October in 2018, Lion Air, one of Indonesia's low-cost airlines, became one of the first operators to take delivery of the aircraft, and everything seems fine. And an aircraft that's just a few months old takes off from Jakarta, and after just around 30 seconds or so of being airborne, nosedives, and all 189 on board are killed. The request to return to the airport was made, but the the communications after that point were no longer. And it seems to come into question as to whether or not Indonesia's safety record here was at play. I mean, it is a fact that Indonesia globally has one of the worst air safety records in the world when you stack it up compared to all other markets. And Indonesia have been sanctioned various times by different aviation regulators for not being up to speed in terms of their safety protocols. So when a 737 MAX goes down in Indonesia, immediately the rhetoric seems to be that it's more likely this is to do with their aviation sector and the perhaps lack of maintenance, something like this, rather than the aircraft itself. Boeing are quite clear to insinuate this, and the story moves on. We know that there has been an aviation tragedy. It's very unusual for 2018, but there's not much more to it until March. Just a few months later.
We now have the first official answers concerning the ill-fated Ethiopian Airlines plane that crashed last month. Preliminary findings suggest the pilots did all they could to pull the aircraft out of a catastrophic nosedive.
Can you tell me about what happened there?
I'm going to take you actually to that morning because I remember it vividly. At the time, I was in Southern Europe and I had the first ping come to my phone that something had happened involving an aircraft in Addis Ababa, and it happened only in the last 45 seconds. So something had happened extremely recently. And I remember thinking, let this not be a 737 MAX, because of course I knew that Ethiopian Airlines had just recently taken delivery of some 737 MAX. And the first ping that came to my phone suggested that something had happened immediately after takeoff. It then became apparent that that aircraft, in an almost identical scenario, had taken off. It was airborne just momentarily before nosediving and crashing. Very quickly, I think within minutes, the industry was quite clear. Oh my word, something is wrong with the 737 MAX.
Ethiopia's transportation minister declaring the crash shows, quote, a clear similarity with the Lion Air crash in Indonesia in October. This after reviewing preliminary data from the black boxes.
If the Ethiopians know that there are parallels between these two crashes, speed is of the essence. There's no sense in waiting a month. It only endangers the flying public.
This wasn't down to Indonesia's air safety record after all. There is no way this can be a coincidence that two aircraft suffer the same exact scenario of accident minutes after takeoff on a brand new 737 MAX, what Boeing had said was now the safest aircraft in the world. You can imagine, although it took around 12 more hours for the US to ground the 737 MAX, almost every other country grounded this aircraft first in those coming hours in the immediate aftermath of the crash without any preliminary investigation or any indication as to what happened. There wasn't an aviation authority in the world that liked what they saw in terms of knowing by their gut instinct that there is a high, high chance that those two accidents were linked, meaning it's something to do with the aircraft type. And so while we wait for some conclusive answers, we must ground this aircraft. And the 737 MAX was then grounded for just under 2 years.
And the issue was with the new software in the 737 MAX. How long did it take for authorities to figure out exactly what the issue was?
Within a few weeks, we had some notes from insiders in Boeing and from those looking at the investigation, and the term MCAS being thrown around. And MCAS was this maneuvering system embedded deep into the autopilot that basically was added to the 737 MAX, but wasn't on other aircraft, in order to compensate for the fact that this aircraft now had bigger engines and so was more likely to pitch up in some circumstances. So if you think of the side of an aircraft and you're looking at it face on, because of the weight distribution and because of these bigger and heavier engines, Boeing knew that during the flight test program, the aircraft may have had a tendency to push up in some of those scenarios. So instead of structurally changing anything, they added a system known as MCAS. And this automatic software would automatically push the nose down if it detected that the aircraft was perhaps starting to pitch up at something that would be dangerous at any phase of the flight. That system, MCAS, was buried so deep into the software and the autopilot that Boeing actually didn't feel the need to even inform pilots, engineers, about this additional software.
But because Boeing was selling the 737 MAX as pretty much the same plane as the 737, they didn't highlight the new MCAS system. Many pilots only got a 2-hour iPad course before entering the cockpit for the first time. And the training material didn't mention the MCAS software.
That is a situation that the aviation world found themselves in. Pilots for the first time realizing that they were flying an aircraft with a software that they knew nothing about. And it was that software that was faulty and was responsible for putting the aircraft into a nosedive on two scenarios on phases of the flight that didn't require the aircraft to be lowered in terms of the pitch. And so it was that was faulty. It was the software. And Boeing immediately came forward and said that, of course, they would be addressing this and that there would be some kind of software upgrade. And that an investigation would continue.
At the beginning of 2020, the company released internal communications between employees, and it really gave us a damning insight into the company and what the employees thought of the 737 MAX.
Absolutely. There were internal messages and whistleblowers showing communications that had said that this aircraft was designed by clowns who in turn are supervised by monkeys. That's a quote that definitely went viral. And all sorts of scenarios whereby, you know, different flaws in the way in which the aircraft was made were uncovered. And this is what happens when you put anything under the microscope, of course. But for aviation, this was quite shocking. I'm grateful that as an industry, we don't have this. It's the safest form of transport for a reason. So it was quite something to see all these different whistleblowing reports and credible pieces of evidence come forward to just show that any suspicions of this aircraft, for example, being a rushed program and being something that Boeing was scrambling together because they knew they had to compete with Airbus, was coming to light in everything that was slowly being released through different investigations. And there were investigations left, right, and center. I mean, the US Congress ordered an investigation. The FAA themselves were investigating. You had other foreign markets wanted to conduct their own investigations into these aircraft that they had taken delivery of. And that immediately kind of defined the 737 MAX as this troubled aircraft that had been made in a way in which Boeing was so focused on the numbers, they were going to do whatever they could to get it over the line, no matter what. And at some point, safety was compromised in those decisions, with decisions made, as we said, like adding a whole software and deciding unilaterally that pilots don't need to know about this.
So that was March 2020 that we were talking about just there with the internal communications. But then if you jump to this year, to 2024, January, there was another major incident with an Alaskan Airlines flight. Can you tell me what happened?
Sure. So to fast forward to this year, of course, 737 MAXs are now back in the air after what was a 2-year grounding almost. And the public are aware that Boeing has suffered some reputation damage. But things go a little quieter towards, I'd say, the last half of 2023, last year. There wasn't too much Boeing headline drama. Maybe they thought they were going to catch a breath. And then the new year comes. And in January, an Alaska Air 737 MAX 9, so this is the same aircraft type that has struggled with this kind of troubled, bumpy history that has cost lives and so on and so on. It's an almost factory fresh aircraft, less than a few months old, and it's on a routine commercial service flight in the new year. It has fare paying passengers on board. And halfway, well, just around 20 minutes into this, what should have been an ordinary flight, a door plug, which is ultimately the side of the fuselage of, if you imagine yourself sitting in the cabin wall on the left, the outside of that is the fuselage. Between the cabin wall that you can see and touch, and it's usually kind of white, and the fuselage on the outside, Boeing on this aircraft has a door plug area where, in a certain configuration, an additional door can be placed and activated there in order to comply with regulations requiring a ratio of passengers to emergency exits. On this aircraft, it's not needed. So passengers are sitting in a cabin, and they can see that there is just the cabin wall next to them and nothing else. And from the outside, only those in aviation can really tell that the slight outline you can see there is because in some configurations, it would house a door. On this aircraft, it doesn't. That entire panel blows out mid-flight, causing a huge hole, a rapid depressurization. And in that scenario, it will have sucked out anything that was loose, because in a rapid decompression event like that, it's almost tornado-like what the passengers will have experienced. And it is nothing short of a miracle that A, the passenger at the window seat wasn't there because that seat wasn't occupied, and that B, the passengers that were in, for example, the middle seat, just centimeters away, and the aisle seat and around and in the row in front and behind, had their seatbelts on because the aircraft had not yet reached cruising altitude.
Miraculously, no one was in the two seats closest to that window. Hui Tran is the passenger recording the minutes that felt like hours.
I opened my eyes to a giant hole in the plane and I could see the city lights.
So the seatbelt sign was still on because anything that was loose would automatically be taken out at 16,000 feet. And iPads and mobile phones and even the shirt of the gentleman that was sat in the middle seat was ripped off of his chest.
God.
And out. And you can imagine that's the severity, the level of what they will have experienced. Something, again, unprecedented. Has it happened before? Yeah, 20 years ago on an older aircraft in a freak accident and so on and so on. But should it be happening on a 737 MAX, this aircraft that Boeing has said that suffered so publicly, but then was so underneath the microscope in recent years that Boeing were confidently telling the world, this is now the safest aircraft in the skies because no aircraft has been scrutinized like the 737 MAX.
And then again, it hits international headlines in March when a man by the name of John Barnett, he dies. Can you tell me what happened there?
So John Barnett was pretty well known in the aviation community for being a whistleblower. He has blown the whistle on several different ongoings at Boeing over recent years. He's taken part in documentaries. He's taken part in investigations. And he was a former quality manager at the company who later, once leaving, raised concerns over the different faults in production and also the ways in which some 787 Dreamliners were made in the South Carolina plant. He's become quite known for the way in which he's been forthcoming with lifting the lid on how Boeing aircraft are made. And he was this year in the middle of giving evidence in one court case that is directly between Boeing and him. And between hearings, he doesn't answer the phone and they can't get hold of him. His family can't get hold of him. They know that he was in the court 3 days earlier, but he doesn't show up for court on the Saturday. And so where is he? And on either the Sunday or the Monday, they find him dead in the hotel car park in his car, with the coroner saying that it looked like it was suicide and everything moves on. Of course, eyebrows are raised, that wondering how is it that as Boeing are suffering so badly with their reputation and this gentleman is giving such key evidence, he's suddenly dead.
Alex, from a reputational point of view and then also from a business point of view, how damaged is Boeing? Like I know Ryanair, like you said earlier on, is a significant customer of Boeing and they were expecting a delivery in June of 57 planes. They're only getting 40. Michael O'Leary saying he's very disappointed, but they're going to continue working with Boeing. Is that the sense generally for Boeing that their customers are going to continue working with them?
It is. And that's because most airline customers who are tied into contracts are also confident that Boeing will eventually get their house in order. I think that if we had had this conversation at the end of last year, it would have looked like Boeing were perhaps going to be having a good start to the new year. Everything was kind of quiet and so on. But this year, since the beginning of this year until now, has just been nothing short of chaos for Boeing. For airline customers, they don't like it. I speak to airline CEOs all the time. I would put Michael O'Leary of Ryanair in a different category. Michael O'Leary is never going to waste a good crisis. And he has been extremely vocal about this for one reason only, and that is for their financial bottom line.
We're originally expecting 58 aircraft for the summer of 2020. That's now 30 at best. It may well move to 20. It could move to 10. And it could well move to zero if Boeing don't get their shit together pretty quickly with the regulators.
He will admit it himself that he is able to express his disappointment at Boeing, not because of what they've been facing, but because he knows that they are not being the trusted, reliable partner that he needs them to be in order to aggressively offer low fares to passengers globally and take delivery of more aircraft. continue to expand, continue to have that growth in summers and so on and so on. So that's where his disappointment comes in. I've spoken to other airline CEOs who are just disappointed in the way in which Boeing has jeopardized some parts of passenger safety, that it's now trickled down to passenger confidence. I speak to people all the time now who are saying to me, Alex, I'm flying to, for example, Australia with my family, but I don't want to go on a Boeing plane. And I'm thinking, God, we have never been in that territory before. Even after the 737 MAX crashes, people were not actively aware that they wanted to avoid an entire manufacturer. And for what it's worth, I think it is irrational. You shouldn't be trying to avoid them as a manufacturer. Boeing and Airbus have always been the trusted two at the top of the aviation game.
Tonight, Boeing on the hunt for a new CEO, facing mounting scrutiny following a door panel blowing out mid-flight on a recently delivered 737 MAX in January. CEO Dave Calhoun will now depart by year's end.
Is Boeing facing crisis after crisis right now? Absolutely. This is something that's not my opinion. This is a fact. But as a whole, that reputation damage has caused this kind of shaky ground of uncertainty in aviation. And just a few weeks ago, I was with the CEO of Airbus, Guillaume Faury, and many people seem to think that Airbus must be enjoying this moment, seeing their number one rival suffer in the way that they are, and everyone's so confident in Airbus. It's quite the opposite. Guillaume Faury, the CEO of Airbus, is incredibly distressed as to what Boeing is facing, because it's not good for the industry as a whole. Passenger confidence is in decline. People are actively confused as to what they want to avoid. And that comes from an emotional place, of course, because they're seeing all of these tragedies and they're naturally worried. But also, aviation is the safest form of transport, and we can't be having one player jeopardize that for the industry as a whole because, for example, over recent years, they've been aggressively focused on costs when they should have been aggressively focused on safety.
And my thanks to Alex Macheras. I'm Tabitha Monaghan, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by Ian Doyle, researched by Dave Hanratty, with sound by Gavin Hennessy. Archive clips from ABC News, CBS News, CNBC, Euronews, Bloomberg, The Today Show, The Wall Street Journal, The Boeing Corporation, and The Irish Independent. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to follow the podcast and leave us a review.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.